Welcome to session 70 of the Bible in a Year commentary. If you started this series on the 1st of January, then today should be the 11th of March. Today we'll be looking at Judges 1 to 3 and Psalm 70. But first of all, let's get an overview of Judges. Judges is part of the Deuteronomistic books. That's Joshua, Judges, 1st and 2nd Samuels, and 1st and 2nd Kings. Judges is a telling of a portion of Israel's history, framed in light of the blessings and curses we read of in Deuteronomy 28. When the people are obedient, we see them flourish. When they're disobedient, we see them struggle and suffer. Unfortunately, Judges is focused on disobedience. Here's a summary of the structure, but I would recommend checking out the written version of this commentary in the description to see the structure properly for yourself, particularly as today there are two. We can split Judges into three sections. The first section is Judges 1 to 2, the introduction and the story of Israel's failure. The second section is Judges 3 to 16, the corruption of Israel judges. Within that, we have the good judges in Judges 3 to 5. We've got the okay judge, meaning Gideon, in Judges 6 to 9. The bad judge, Jephthah, in Judges 10 to 12. And then the worst judge, Samson, in Judges 13 to 16. That makes up the second section, the corruption of Israel's judges. Then the final section, Judges 17 to 21, is the corruption of Israel's people. That's Judges 17 to 18 with the tribe of Dan's violence. And then Judges 19 to 21, we have sexual abuse and civil war. The whole focus of the book of Judges is to show the moral decline of Israel. The first two chapters set the theme, and then the rest of the book show that gradual decline. By the end of the book, the Israelites are behaving worse than the people they drove out. Their disobedience leads to their own corruption. But let's jump in with today's reading, Judges 1 to 3. The book of Judges picks up where Joshua left off, but with a very different focus. Joshua was focused on God keeping his promises to bring Israel into the land he promised them. It's positive. Judges focus on how Israel messes everything up after Joshua. In the first chapter, it lists how each of the tribes failed to completely remove the enemy from the land they had taken. It starts with Judah, the tribe that had done the best job, and then works its way down the list, ending with Dan, who were beaten back by their enemies, the Amorites. Eventually, this land would get swallowed up by the tribe of Ephraim, the house of Joseph. This failure to remove their enemies from the land completely has a big impact on Israel. Over time, these enemies persuade Israel to worship their gods and pull them away from the God of Israel. Judges 2 highlights the cycle that we're going to see throughout the rest of the book. Israel were disobedient, turning away from God. God would then hand them back over to their enemies, allowing them to be defeated in battle and oppressed. The Israelites would realise the error of their ways and repent, so God would send judges, these tribal leaders, to rescue the people and then lead them back to him. For a time, the people would be obedient, and then as soon as that judge died, they would turn away from God again. This next section of Judges, Judges 3 to 16, gives us many examples of exactly this happening. We start off with some judges that did well, and as we travel through the book, the judges are going to get worse and worse. The first is Othniel, who saved Israel from a Mesopotamian king, Cushan-Rishathaim. God placed his spirit upon Othniel. He rose up, took charge of Israel's armies, and defeated the Mesopotamians in battle. Israel had 40 years of peace under Othniel. Second is Ehud, who rescued the Israelites from the Moabites. He pretended to have a secret message for the king of Moab, and then, when they were alone, killed him and escaped. Then, as the Moabites were struggling with the death of their king, he led the Israelite army to defeat them. Israel had 80 years of peace under Ehud. Thirdly, we have Shamgar. Not much is said about Shamgar, other than the fact that the Israelites were being oppressed by the Philistines, and so he went out with an ox goad, which was like a long spear-type weapon, and killed 600 Philistines single-handedly. Repeatedly, we see the disobedience of the Israelites. They had been specifically chosen by God to be an example to the world, and they had committed themselves to God multiple times. And yet despite this, they continue to choose to do their own thing. But that's Judges 1 to 3. Now let's look at Psalm 70. This psalm is attributed to King David and falls into the category of lament psalm, just. There is very little complaint in this psalm, so some would argue that it's actually a psalm of petition instead. I would argue the complaint is implicit in the request. Here's a summary of the structure. We have verses 1 to 3, a request, verse 4, a quick declaration of trust, and then verse 5 is kind of a complaint, declaration of trust and request all rolled into one. The psalmist opens with a call to God to deliver them. They have enemies who seek their life, and so the psalmist asks that God deals with them, put them to shame just as they have tried to shame the psalmist. Next, The psalmist declares their trust in God as they encourage others to seek God and rejoice in him. Finally, the psalmist makes their final request. They are poor and needy, so they ask God to help them. They already know that God is their deliverer, so they ask that God deliver them soon. The psalm serves as a model for quick prayers of lament. It shows how at times when you feel a little lost for words because life is hard, you can weave together your complaint, request, and trust into simple, short prayer.